Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, remember a time when payday was always on Friday and the old get my check on Friday and run to the bank in time to cash your check so that way then you'd have money for the weekend? Well, I'm young enough to really have never experienced that. But what I can remember and what I have experienced is when changing jobs and the time it took from when I got paid from my last employer to getting paid by my new employer and the pain of trying to manage bills when payday changed. But that really brings us to today's discussion where I'm joined by Jason Lee, who is the CEO at Daily Pay, and we're going to be talking about earned wage access, and more specifically, the new advisory opinion from the CFPB as it relates to earned wage access and its role in the payments industry. So today's episode certainly has a lot of great insights and takeaways. So without any further delays, let's start the show.
So Jason, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. We're going to kind of be taking an in-depth look at this advisory opinion that came out from the CFPB here that really kind of takes a look at on-demand pay or early access to wages here. And a lot of it kind of focuses on Regulation Z here. And the document itself is around 14 pages and is a bit complicated because it gets really into the weeds on definitions and things. But perhaps maybe let's simplify it here for our audience here. And perhaps maybe you could kind of give me like what is the bottom line of this opinion piece that's coming out from the CFPB?
Well, Ryan, thanks for having me. We here at Daily Pay are huge fans of Payments Journal and all the great work that you guys are up to. So I appreciate you having me and us on this great broadcast. I appreciate you taking an interest in this subject matter. Three or four years ago when we started this space, who would have thunk that this would have kind of grown as quickly as it has to really draw the interest and the support of folks like the Consumer Financial Protection Agencies. And, we're just thrilled that the CFPB, really is starting to define some of the boundaries and really define this space. Let me maybe try to boil this down quickly, and then I'm sure we can kind of go through some of the more finer points here on the actual broadcast. So real simple. This industry called on-demand pay or earned wage access is really one in which an employee can access her earned wages or the money that she's already earned really on her own schedule. And that's typically done through a third party like ourselves. And of course, if we are the ones kind of putting that money out, when an employee kind of taps a button, we do that so the employer doesn't have to actually go through the process herself of running the actual payroll cycle. That's really the value that we're adding. But by definition, of course, if we put money out, then money has to be returned because effectively what's occurring is that money is being received by the employee prior to the scheduled payday. In the market, there are really two types of models that have really emerged. One model is the one really that we as a company do that we're more experts in, which is where the employee doesn't have to pay anything back. So we have a piece of technology that does all the settlements behind the scenes. The employer really does nothing differently. So we send some money along to the employee, and there's never a payback obligation from the employee. And that's really simple, of course. There's really no interesting part about that from a consumer finance perspective, because of course, we've just sent the money and there's no payback required. There's a second set of models in the marketplace, which frankly we don't do, but obviously given that we're a market leader, we're very aware of, that does require a repayment from the employee. And so in those models, the employee receives some money and the employee pays back. And the methodology by which they pay back is they instruct the employer, hey, could you just deduct, or they authorize the employer, hey, could you deduct some money out of my next paycheck? And could you just pay back this vendor from whom I took that money from? And so in effect, it's like a directed payback through the employer. And it happens to be that the employer does that through a payroll deduction or payroll withholding. I think there, the CFPB opinion really clarified that that second set of models, or that second set of earned wage access, if structured in accordance with a number of different provisions, including no fees associated with it, they've determined that that's not a lending transaction. So long as even if the employee is repaying the vendor from whom it received funds from, even though it's repaying it through a payroll deduction, the analysis from the CFPB was, gosh, if that doesn't come, you know, if there are no fees associated with that, or in some cases low fees, you know, we will not qualify that as a credit or a borrowing transaction. So that's kind of the nutshell. So two different kinds of models, one where the employee does not have to pay back, you know, that's kind of what we do. The second, where they do have to pay back, and they pay back through what's called a directed payroll deduction. The you know, because that looks like a borrowing transaction, I think the CFPB felt compelled to come out and clarify, gosh, yes, that is a borrowing mechanic, but, you know, we're going to provide some exemptive relief and say that that's not a credit transaction, you know, to kind of clarify that relationship. So that's probably a lot longer and a lot bigger than the nutshell, but hopefully that makes sense to you and your listeners, Ryan.
Yeah, I certainly thought it was very interesting, because I did read through the entire opinion piece there. And at first, you know, I certainly thought, and, you know, initially when I was reading it through, I had the same kind of reaction of like, this feels very much like a credit product here. But then as the CFPB went through and kind of, again, this is where they kind of got into the weeds, and they said, well, credit is defined in XYZ ways. And when you look at Regulation Z, it's defined in XYZ ways for it. And then they also talked about seven additional factors that were there. And once they kind of unpacked those, you really kind of felt, oh, no, they're correct in saying that, no, this is not a credit. It kind of has some of the characteristics of a credit product, but it's not on that aspect. But kind of getting back to those seven additional factors there, perhaps maybe you could kind of unpack those factors, because then I think it kind of really helps to set what those parameters are, which really kind of sets these type of products or early wage access products apart from a credit product.
Yeah, so I guess to kind of take a step back again, because I know that there's, it's sort of a difficult thing to kind of completely follow. So in earned wage access, when you work with the employer, two different types of models, one where the employee does not have to pay anything back. The second is one where they do have to pay back, and the methodology of payback is through a payroll deduction directed or authenticated by the actual employee. That's kind of the world that we're speaking about here. And because that does frankly look like a borrowing transaction, because again, you know, the employee is directing a repayment of something that they took, the CFPB has said, well, goodness, if it follows this kind of pattern of, you know, you work with the employer, you verify all your data with the employer, there's some systems integration, you don't debit the employee's account, and a number of other types of sensible activities, you know, even though the employee is, and the employer, I should say, is executing an employer payroll deduction or a wage deduction, that would not be considered a credit or borrowing transaction. So they have kind of put out a, you know, a sort of a qualifying rubric in order for that type of model to be able to avail itself of the actual exemptive relief that this one particular letter is saying.
So Jason, one of the things that I think you're bringing up here, this is what it kind of really took for me, for my head to be able to wrap around this entire part here, is that, you know, we keep bringing up the fact that it's kind of saying, hey, repay what they took. And I kind of initially, that's the way that my mindset was, is that, hey, it's a repayment on something you took. But the reality is that that worker already earned those wages. They have worked those hours. Like they are due that money that's supposed to come to them. But it's because of, and I think the CFPB's opinion piece pointed out that, hey, it's because of inefficiencies with, say, like cash flow management for small businesses. It's that's why you get paid on a weekly basis. You don't get paid in real time for, hey, I worked 2 hours, where's my 2 hour pay? It's a no, you get paid weekly, biweekly, monthly, whatever the case may be, for that. So, I mean, once I kind of got my brain wrapped around that, it really kind of helped me to understand better of, no, that's why it's not a credit product, is because that individual has earned that money. And if there were no inefficiencies, technically that person would have that money in their bank account, but they don't, just because of the inefficiencies that are in place. And unfortunately, that's just the way that businesses are run and the way that they need to operate on it. But one of the things, though, that I want to bring up here is that the CFPB opinion piece here is certainly brings up a lot of fees, and or talks about fees quite a bit. And this is where, even in mind, I'm kind of still a little bit confused in terms of what exactly it is that they mean by fees. So perhaps you could kind of unpack that a little bit, and maybe perhaps, you know, kind of educate me on what specifically it is that they meant by when they're talking about fees in that piece.
I think it's similar to like a transaction processing fee. So, you know, if you think about a world where, hey, I've got a bunch of money sitting in my checking account, and I go to an ATM fee and I take the money out, you know, I don't think any of us would consider that to be a borrowing transaction. It's simply, I'm using a piece, in this example, a piece of hardware to be able to convert, you know, what is my, you know, what is rightfully mine, the money in my checking account, into accessible funds. In the case of an ATM, into physical collateral or physical cash, I typically will pay a transaction fee for that. You know, I'll pay a $3 fee or whatever it might be that the ATM machine is charging me. The ATM machine does that because they're charging essentially a processing fee. Like that, like that's, you know, they've got costs to deliver that cash and to make that cash accessible. If you then kind of translate that into the earned wage world, that's kind of what's happening here, which is an employee, you know, has some balance, and that balance is a digital representation of what they already owed. And so in order to convert that into usable funds, they also pay a transaction fee. And I think in the same way that all of us would think that a couple of bucks is a sensible ATM fee, I think that's kind of what the commission's getting at here. Again, I think the exact words that are used in the opinion itself is nominal. You know, I think that's probably in the eye of the beholder, but I think all of us probably would agree that a couple of bucks, and certainly comparing it to a real life analog, which would be the ATM machine, is that's probably what they're saying. But I think they've been intentionally vague. And I would suspect that the ambiguity was intentional to ultimately be clarified through rulemaking.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect anecdote when you look at it and you kind of translate it to what is actually going, you know, like what's implemented in the payments industry right now. And perfect example of ATM in terms of just, okay, well, to convert it or to be able to get cash out, here's the processing fee for that. And, you know, individuals that use ATMs, they typically pay those fees for that. So I think that's a perfect antidote to exactly what's kind of going on here. And kind of, you know, before we wrap things up, I would have to assume that obviously that DailyPay must think this opinion is certainly very favorable to them, given the market that you're in, but curious to kind of get maybe your kind of final thoughts on this opinion.
Well, look, as a general matter, it's always a great thing when, you know, folks as smart and as forward thinking as the CFPB are like taking a view on a business that you're related to. So that, I think, as a general matter, is a great thing. In a more specific way, however, I do want to make sure, just from our perspective, so our model is not really covered by this in the sense that, like, we've never required repayment from the employee. And so consequently, like, we've never considered ourselves to be a credit instrument. There never was any ambiguity, because by definition, in a credit instrument, there is a repayment. I think the place where some of these more ambiguous models have gotten tripped up is there is repayment. The repayment's happening through an employee-directed instruction to the employer to deduct wages, but that is still an employee repayment. And so I think that's frankly where the ambiguity lied. From our standpoint, we've kind of been in the clear on this from day one, because we don't require repayment from the employee, just given the way our model works. But I think as a general matter, it's a good thing. I will say that, and I'd be remiss if I did not sort of mention, I think this clarifies that, you know, deduction that transactions like the ones that are being described by this set of heuristics, you know, they are quote unquote not credit. It does not, however, absolve or clarify, frankly, all of the other non-credit jurisdictional issues that payroll deductions have. You know, it's sort of like, hey, you know, I can open up a restaurant and I can have, I can get my, my real estate deed and my, my restaurant owner's license. But if I'm operating, you know, and serving liquor without a liquor license, well, just because my restaurant is okay, it doesn't mean the activities within the restaurant are also okay, because obviously those are two completely different jurisdictions. And so, you know, whilst I do think the CFPB has sort of opined on, good, in this model, there is no credit, that doesn't mean you can go serve liquor without a license. And what I'm getting at there is, you know, payroll deductions still have a whole host of regulatory complexity that is governed by the Department of Labor and the wage and hour statutes, in addition to constructive receipt and statutory employment tax withholding risk that's incurred under the IRS code if you are in fact executing a payroll deduction. So what I would say is, from a credit standpoint, awesome work, huge step forward in defining the boundaries, but by no means a panacea for the totality of what's represented by these services.
Yeah, I think that that's a fantastic explanation. You know, it's kind of a, hey, yes, it's great that the CFPB acknowledges this or puts their opinion forward on this, but yes, it still doesn't mean that this was the go-ahead of this is the Wild West. You know, there certainly
right.
still are.
But yeah, and that's the great thing about, you know, our country, which is you have checks and balances. Yeah, you know, the CFPB, yeah, they're opining on this one issue, but, you know, but hey, like that doesn't mean that you can ignore what the Department of Labor or what the IRS, I mean, you'd be crazy assume that, you know, that, again, it's like I can sell, you know, as much as I want in this store. You know, I got the real estate deed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think any of us would be comfortable telling that to our clients, so to speak.
Yeah, no, I certainly have to agree with you on that one. So Jason, thank you so much for taking the time today talking to me about the CFPB advisory opinion and how it relates to early earned wage access here. And I hope to have you back on the podcast real soon.
Okay, well, thanks so much again. We'll talk soon.